Hey, everybody, this is Brandon Luna with Cigars and Cinema.
I'm Randy Rankin.
And we want to tell you about one of our sponsors that's been sponsoring the show, every show we've done since day one. It's Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge.
March of 2013.
That long?
Yes.
Wow.
We're getting old, dude.
I know, right? So this shop has been supporting us from day one. We want to tell you a little bit something about it. What would you say about Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge, Randy?
Got one of the largest humidors in Texas. Definitely a top 10 humidor in Texas for our size. Beautiful lounge. Matt Badosky has had a Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge since 2005. At another location, he just opened this one in February, and it is night and day. We loved the old place, but this one just doesn't compare. It's just fantastic. It's beautiful, wide open, great help, great staff here, very knowledgeable. The great Dobie Elliott's the manager here. Anyone in the Dallas area will remember Sir Elliott's. He's part of that Sir Elliott family.
Cool.
So he knows cigars, he knows the industry, he knows the business. He will take care of you.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
So where would they go if they were in Richardson or the Dallas-Fort Worth area to get to Calypso?
It's 1002 North Central Expressway, Richardson, Texas, 75080.
And where would they call if they wanted to call and order some fantastic cigars?
972-761-9903.
They have a nice complement of Christoph and Nat Sherman's. Those should be the only two that you order if you call.
But no, he has everything from high-end Fuente to
Padron,
bundles.
Ligas,
I mean, yeah. He's everything in between. Liga. He's got a nice Liga account. He's got some Opus. He's got it all.
Yeah, he definitely has a very nice mixture.
It is definitely one of the larger Nat Sherman and Christoph accounts in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And
for sure,
they sell well here.
So all right, so check out the Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge if you're in the area. Come by and say hi to Matt and the crew. If you are not in the area, do give them a call.
Yes, absolutely. And say hello to Toby.
Yes,
Toby's a cute little fella. He's 11 years old. He's a Pomeranian Yorkie mix, and you're thinking, oh yeah, a little yippy dog. Only time that dog barks is when he's got an attitude because you're not throwing the ball to him the right way. That's the only time that dog barks.
Exactly.
Sweetheart, and he'll greet you at the door with a waggly tail. I mean, come on. Tell me that doesn't make you feel good when you walk into a cigar store. And
you got to love that.
Yeah, it's awesome. So who sponsored today's show, Brandon?
Today's show is sponsored by Christoph Cigars.
I've heard of them.
I have heard of them, too. They've been around for a little bit.
Yeah, since 05. I think 05.
Wow.
I'm going to hold on to 05.
I'm going to say that that's correct because you are the rep for Christoph. So.
I am the rep for Christoph, and 05 really sounds familiar to me at the moment.
I should hope so.
Yes. Glenn Case is the owner. The dude's a rock star.
He doesn't get
the publicity of a Jonathan Drew or a Rocky Patel, but he's up there. He's an A-list cigar manufacturer rock star. And if you ever meet the guy, you can't help but love him. He's just a sweet guy, fun, likes to play, smartass in a way, but very genuine, very wholesome, very good guy. It's a pleasure to work for him.
What are we smoking today?
We're smoking a Christoph Sumatra. It's one of the original line. I mean, it's actually not the original core brand. It came after the original core brand, but not very far afterwards. And, you know, I used to work at Calypso, a little pulling the curtain back. I used to work for Calypso.
Mm-hmm.
And we carried Christoph back in 08 and 09, somewhere in that area. And I'll tell you that my two favorites at the time, when I had no bias in any way, shape, or form, were the Christoph Maduro and the Christoph Sumatra.
Yeah,
I had one
in a few
weeks. And Glenn smokes this. When I'm traveling with Glenn and he opens up my humidor, first thing he grabs is a Sumatra.
Nice.
So it's
nice.
One of his favorites as well.
Excellent. Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah. So thank you, Christoph, for sponsoring this episode.
Thanks, Christoph, for sponsoring the episode and giving us these great cigars to smoke.
Absolutely.
All right, guys, it's Cigars and Cinema. We told you we changed the name. It's changed. It's now just about cigars. We're smoking cigars. We're talking about the movies and TV and stuff that we've watched. We're talking guy talk. It's a new show, but with the same two dudes, so it shouldn't be too different for you.
What two dudes?
Yeah, I'm Brandon Luna.
Oh, and I'm Randy Rankin. I forgot about
those two guys.
Those guys
have been around for a while.
Yeah.
Been doing this since
March of 2013.
You just said that. I know. And I totally forgot because I've been drinking.
I knew I'd heard about it. I knew I'd heard that somewhere. I don't know. Anyway.
So to the fans out there, this is going back to the old ways, a little bit more like the original Calypso cigar review, but we're not necessarily reviewing cigars. We are going to smoke a cigar that's been sponsored for this week, and we're smoking that Christoph Sumatra, which I'm very much looking forward to. And we're just going to talk about what we're going to talk about. It's guy talk, it's movies, it's TV, it's whatever.
Yep.
So
absolutely. You know, we fly better without a net. I mean, we really do. We love that daringness of, you know, we're going to sink or swim here, so we might as well go balls to the wall, you know. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that daring form of, it's not radio, but I'm going to call it radio.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
You're listening to us, and most likely in your car. So to me, that's radio, right?
Yes, I would say it's radio. Yeah. It's still radio. Like, yeah. It's not terrestrial, but yeah, it's radio.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Is it extraterrestrial, though?
It could be. It could be.
If we try really hard, could that make it extra?
Possibly. Wow.
Dude, that was genius. That was genius to come out of nowhere
does
with
this
that.
Have a closed foot?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so all I had to light this away from my pants.
All Christophs have pigtails and closed foot. And a beautiful thing is we didn't have cutters, but you don't need a cutter with a Christoph. The pigtail works great. Brandon didn't believe me. Just did his twist off, and that sucker is smoking like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to light mine while Brandon vamps.
A beautiful twist off is a great thing. Now, there's very few people that do this, but I got to tell you, it brings a little extra to the cigar smoking experience. You get to twist that top off. If you want to, you can stick that top in your nose and smell it. It gives you an overall flavor sense of what the flavor of the profile is going to be for that cigar. And you don't have to cut anything, so you save your cutter.
Exactly.
You know? It's great.
It's my favorite cigar. Hang on. I just breathed in some smoke. It's my favorite cigar to smoke in the car because I don't have to cut it.
Yeah,
it's worried about where's my cutter. Greatest.
Yeah,
it's where's totally my cutter. True. Yeah, exactly.
Totally true. Yeah.
Yeah. So and then the close fit helps ignite it, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And it's an aesthetically pleasing look too.
It is. I love the close foot. The close foot and the pigtail just like they scream something extra.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
It's a little extra step that a lot of people don't go. You see it out there occasionally, but not everybody does it. Mm-hmm. Some people start that way and they don't go that way. As they progress, they end up cutting the close foot off.
Yep.
I could name a couple brands, but I'm not. But
right.
You know, it makes it a little fancier, you know, it's just kind of cool. So
it's very cool.
Yep.
So with the new format, which I'm kind of looking forward to, movies, since it's going to be the primary
non-cigar topic. Well, yeah, we're movies, you know, guys. Yeah.
But entertainment, it'll be a lot of entertainment. We also like to talk about celebrities and certain stories we hear about celebrities and things like that, or encounters we've had with celebrities, because not dropping names or patting ourselves on the back, we've been really fortunate. We've both met a ton of celebrities.
Yeah, we have. Harrison Ford is a dick. Just saying. If you don't know the story, I'll tell
it again. Sandy Koufax is a dick.
Yeah?
I'll tell that story someday, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
but there's other ones.
But for the most part, 95% of them are
Robert
awesome.
Patrick is a really friendly drunk.
Very, very friendly drunk. You know, and he's a badass. He always plays a mean son of a bitch.
I know. And
he was one of the sweetest guys ever.
I would have loved to have smoked a cigar with that guy, but alas, I broke my leg and we didn't go back.
Way to go.
Yeah. I know. Thank you, Karma, for
way
being
to go,
an asshole.
Gumby.
So let's talk movies real quick. What did you watch this week or the past couple weeks that you thought was worthy of mention?
Okay. I got Amazon Prime last week. I got tired of getting the email. You should have Amazon Prime, blah, blah, blah. So I did it. I spent $100 for the year.
Mm.
And so I went to my Amazon Prime page, and they had recommendations based on genre and TV and everything. And if you've listened to past episodes, I am a sucker for B-budget horror films.
Yep.
Now, B-budget nowadays are different than the Ed Wood stuff from
the 50s. Well, yeah, of course.
B-budget now are independent writers and directors and producers that low budget, they try to get the best actors they can afford. Or that will volunteer, which happens a lot.
They're working outside the system. They're not, one of the biggies.
They try to get a distributor, but, you know, they can figure out a way to get it distributed on their own or whatever. And, man, Amazon Prime listed a bunch this weekend. So I literally soaked in a ton of, let's just call them B-level independent horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And one that stood out for me was called Dismembering Christmas.
Oh, interesting name.
Not Remembering Christmas.
Yeah.
Dismembering Christmas.
I'm intrigued. Tell me about it.
And it was some early 20-something kids that go out in the... I don't know where it took place, but somewhere cold. I don't know.
Okay.
Montana, Alaska, Colorado. I don't know.
All right.
But somewhere with a cabin in the mountains with snow.
Okay.
And a friend of theirs is getting married. A little bit of Big Chill kind of thing where all these kids are getting together. There's going to be a wedding, instead of a funeral, but it's a wedding.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so they're going to meet at the hotel or at this cabin, spend the night in the cabin, and then go to the wedding the next day. Well, of course, there's the evil forebearer that comes in and says, you should leave this place and don't, you know.
Wait, what was this called again?
Dismembering Christmas.
Dismembering Christmas. Okay.
And so you know, you got the sex, you got the one guy that you can't wait to get killed. You know, you ever notice that? And especially
there's always that one guy.
You're like, kill him now, so we can go on with the rest of the movie.
If it was Friends, it'd be Ross.
Yeah.
Kill Ross. Please.
Yeah, exactly. Ross and then Phoebe.
Yeah.
You kill Ross and Phoebe, and Friends is the greatest show on the planet.
Exactly.
You know, but, you know, so you got that guy. It's all about sex and all that kind of stuff, which is fine.
Well, that's what you expect on a B-rated horror flick.
Yeah, I wished I had as many sexual opportunities as they do in B-movie right. horror movies. Good
right.
Lord.
Yeah.
I remember going on camping trips without a shot.
Exactly.
You know? But yeah, every movie is like, oh, we're all going to get laid. Really? All of you?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, that ain't going to happen. But, and then there's a backstory of a lady that had lived in that cabin, killed her husband, I think killed her kids. Because her husband cheated, so she got rid of her family, but she held on to her daughter.
Okay.
But the daughter ran away and escaped. So she keeps waiting for her daughter to return. So anytime someone turns to this cabin, she assumes it's her daughter coming back to see her.
Okay.
And then one by one, people are getting killed, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. And they set it up. Looks like this guy could be the killer. Set up like this guy could be the killer. Mm-hmm. This guy. Acting's horrible.
Okay. Well, it's a B-movie, so most of it is, yeah.
Certain performances you could say like, oh, you know, because I've been in a short film, you've been in short films.
Yeah.
It just depends on how much time
exactly.
you get to spend
you've
on it.
You've got time
you know?
To develop your character.
If you watch my short film, it sucks. But if you knew the circumstances that I had to go through and the director and everything I had to go through, you'd be like, okay, pretty good.
So what is that short film? Just to put that out there, because people want to see it, yeah.
Well, I'm not going to tell you that it was called The Shade.
It's called The Shade. And it's on YouTube.
It is on YouTube. Matt Wagner, Trace Rundquist, and oh god, what was the other girl's name? And she's the biggest of the three of them.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Matt Wagner's working on The Vampire Diaries.
I was going to say, these people have gone on to bigger, better things.
Trace Rundquist.
Everybody but you is
doing it. So maybe I didn't perform that well. But anyway, but no, in these things.
No, you were good in it. You were good in it.
Well, thank you. But you're watching this horror film and you don't know how long they had. They probably had 2 weeks to shoot.
You want that trivia?
No, you got it? Sure.
12 days.
Okay, I said 2 weeks. Yeah. So it's pretty close.
You're really close, yeah.
And
apparently the harsh winter conditions provided havoc for the exterior shots and several days having below zero temperatures.
Oh, wow.
Ouch. Yeah. That sucks.
Okay, so that's going to affect your acting.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially if they don't
and
have
the fake blood as far as the flow of it.
Yeah, it's going to freeze.
Yeah.
And it's going to freeze. And, you know, they don't have trailers and stuff. They're probably all sharing a... They're probably sleeping in that
hotel
cabin.
Room.
Or they're probably sleeping
exactly,
in that
yeah.
cabin. You never know. Mm-hmm. But so that can affect your acting. There are a couple of people that I thought, okay, I could see that they've got something and everything. But there was some suspense. There was some editing where, like, Alfred Hitchcock would throw up watching it because it's like, come on, get to the suspense part.
Yeah.
And they would linger on a shot a little too long. And you're like, I know what's going
to
happen.
Trying to extend that
let
time
it go,
to
get,
make it a feature.
Make it happen. And if they'd have done that, it probably would have been better. A little crisper, it would have been nice.
Yeah.
But you know what? I give them thumbs up. It was an entertaining movie. I liked it. It stood out for me.
So here's some trivia on this. We're still going to do this because I think it's interesting. So yeah, we said shot over 12 days. Film originally began as a spec script for a proposed Friday the 13th sequel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That would have been interesting.
I
could see that.
Ooh,
maybe it was the Betsy Palmer character.
Maybe. The first slasher studio film not to have any direct homages to previous horror films. So that's kind
of
cool.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And like you said, the cast and crew stayed on location for the entire shoot, and nearly half the cast also helped out in various crew positions.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So although Steve Goltz co-wrote the screenplay, this was the first slasher studio film not to be directed by Goltz. And the second slasher studio film to have a UK premiere in Glasgow at the Gazarvenar Cinema, whatever.
Okay.
Something in Russian Cinema Festival. Yeah,
okay,
say
cool.
That. So that's cool. I mean, it actually has trivia, so that's cool.
That is cool.
And general consensus on this is it's got a 4.1 on IMDb, but people in the message boards seem to be enamored with it. They like it. So.
Okay, 4.1 when you're a nobody movie.
Yeah.
You got to grade on a curve because so many people are going to be like, this isn't The Conjuring. It gets one.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Horror movies typically do not get a good review.
Right.
They don't. Exactly. The Conjuring is a rarity in that it's a horror film that actually gets good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Not many of them do. They're usually five below if you're going on a 10 rate, or 2.5 to 3 if you're going on a 5.
All right.
So, you know, but that's the thing is like you can't base it on that because horror films are a genre film. Mm-hmm. People who like horror films like horror films. They want to see horror films. They're going to watch whatever other people say, hey, this is worthy of watching.
Right.
So if you're saying it's worth my time, I would spend the time to watch it because...
And it's short. It's like an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it doesn't linger too long. Like I said, they could have edited it and probably made it an hour and five, which...
Yeah, but then it's not a feature and they want it to be a feature.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
So
and again, it helps with distribution to get...
Exactly. So this is probably VOD. Who knows? I mean, it might be video on demand. Who knows? But so was that the only thing you saw? The only thing you spent the time to watch the whole movie?
I watched another one, and this is kind of funny. You remember William Catt?
Yeah. You remember
Greatest American
Hero. Greatest American Hero, yeah.
And he was, I don't remember the actor's name, but Perry Mason's secretary on the Perry Mason show.
Yeah.
That's his mom in real life.
Hmm.
And in the 80s when they did all those Perry Mason TV shows.
I'm going to say it's something cat.
No, she went to
she didn't have the cat name?
But remember Paul Drake was his investigator?
Yeah.
Well, William Catt played Paul Drake Jr.
Okay.
Which, you know, so he got to work with his mom again and everything. Well, he looks just like my cousin.
Oh.
And we used to laugh at my cousin.
Wait, William Catt does?
Yeah.
Okay.
And my cousin had blonde curly hair, afro kind of blonde curly hair, just like William Catt and everything. Yeah. So this movie came out like 96.
All right.
And so he was older than it then and would have been about the same age as my cousin is now. And they aged the same way.
Wow.
It's really weird. He'd make facial expressions. I mean, as opposed to just the aesthetic thing with the hair and everything and the face.
Yeah.
He'd make facial expressions. I'm like, holy shit, I'm watching my cousin. It was just
That's really cool.
It was really weird. But it was called The Surrogate.
Okay.
And he and his wife adopt a little girl.
Okay.
And she's like been in like several foster homes. And she becomes enamored with him. She blows off the mom. She has a crush on her daddy. Oh, it's called... I'm sorry. The Surrogate was a different movie. This is called Daddy's Girl.
Daddy's Girl. Okay.
Daddy's Girl. And so she becomes totally enamored with him. And anytime someone looks like she might... They might be thinking, you know, this girl's weird. Kind of need to get her out of the house and kind of stuff. Well, they wind up dying.
Uh-huh.
And it's because she's protecting her relationship with her dad. And her dad's oblivious to everything. You know, he loves the little girl. Oh, she's so sweet. And I don't understand why people don't like her. And that one was pretty solid. It's very made-for-TV feel, but it wasn't. It actually was a cinema movie. It didn't do anything. But it did get a release. But kind of cool to see William Catt. I hadn't seen him in a long time. You know,
yeah.
So granted, it
has a 4.5 on IMDb. Again, like we said, it's, you know, it's a horror flick. So, yeah, what can you do?
Yeah.
But who else is in that? Let's see here. So Michelle Green is Barbara Mitchell.
And, you know, when I saw her, I was like, I've seen her and stuff.
Mimi Craven's in it.
Who was married to Wes Craven at the time?
Whip Hubley is in it.
Oh, okay.
Whip's been in stuff.
Okay. Kurt Russell was married to Olivia Hubley. Is
she
Olivia Hubley's daughter?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Or husband. Or son. Sorry. Whip.
Oh, Whip. Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. It's got some people in it. Some people that you've seen in other stuff. But... Yeah, so for me, it was... I'm still in the I've got to show my daughter movies that I think are cool phase.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's summer, so I get some time home with Sydney, so I want to show her. She's 17, so I'm going to show her some of the movies that I thought were cool.
Mm-hmm.
So
Debbie Does Dallas.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
The, you know, the
Deep Throat.
And Beyond the Green Door. Yeah,
yes,
that kind of, yeah, that good stuff. No.
Behind the Green Door. Get it
behind,
right.
Behind, whatever. I don't know. I've never seen it. So
that's what she said.
I've seen Deep Throat.
I don't think I've seen any of the famous horror films. Porn flicks.
You could call them horror
films. Could be. I've never seen any of the famous porn flicks. I've saw
horror films.
Horror.
W-H-O-R-E.
I've seen When Harry Ate Sally. That's the only one I've seen.
God.
Sorry.
Are you kidding me?
I'm serious.
Is that really a thing?
One. Oh,
of course it is. Of course that's a real thing. No, but so I showed her Donnie Darko, which, you know, she hadn't seen before. And it was one of those movies that's a thinker.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm trying to show her the thinkers, the ones you have to watch and maybe think about. Like, there's that, there's Brazil, there's Inception, there's a bunch of them that are...
Memento.
You could go one or two ways. Exactly. Memento's on the list as well. But she wanted to watch Donnie Darko because it's in her age range. It's, you know, it's about teenagers, but it's a thinker. So we saw that, and I hadn't seen that in a long time. And the last time I saw it was in the theater, and I had bought the DVD of the director's cut, and I'd never seen it. So
okay.
It was kind of a reimagining for both of us because I hadn't seen it in so long. It's a really solid movie. If you haven't seen it before, have you ever seen Donnie Darko?
Years ago.
Okay.
Years ago.
So it's got a lot going on. It's one of those movies that's very interpretive. You can say that it's, you know, it's either the nonsensical rantings of a lunatic mind You know, it could be kind of like Occurrence at Owl Creek, where, you know, Occurrence at Owl Creek is that Twilight Zone episode where the guy's getting ready to get hung, and then he imagines that the rope breaks and he goes and runs and finds his wife, and then he's really getting hung. It's kind of like that. Donnie Darko could go that way. It's like there's a fuselage that lands in his room, but he's sleepwalking, so he's out, and the, you know, he cheats death. And the rest of the movie is about him thinking that he knows about time travel, and he can time travel and do all these things. And then at the end, he ends up dying in his room. So, like, did he really, was it all part of this real conspiracy where he really learned about time travel and karma's catching up with him? Or is it just him dreaming that he did that? You know, so it's one of those things.
Yeah.
But it was really trippy, really fun. It was great to watch it with her because she was just like, what? What? Who? Where? You know what? And then she was digging into it on IMDb and trying to learn as much as she could about it. So it's definitely one of those movies that sparked conversations, which I love those type of movies.
Yeah,
I mean, anything that makes me want to talk about it afterwards is.
Has she seen Vertigo? Have you shown her Vertigo?
No, I haven't shown her Vertigo.
That's a thinker.
Yeah, it's definitely
a thinker.
Yeah, yeah.
And she loves Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. So we'll see that soon. Yeah, she's seen Rear Window, but she hasn't seen Vertigo. So
Rear Window's a thinker with action, though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
For a movie that's so. Okay, we're talking about a guy with a broken leg.
Yeah.
Who takes pictures of people outside his window.
Right.
And that's an action movie? Oh, yeah. It turns action on that movie. That movie's incredible. But Vertigo is just... I fought that movie for years.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get about halfway through and be like, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
Why?
And then when I finished it, I was like, oh, my God. Why did I give up on this movie so many times? Right. You know?
How old were you when you gave up on it?
Early 20s. I wanted to go play baseball.
No, okay. All right, I get that.
You're cutting into my baseball time here. Mm. I love Jimmy Stewart, but he's not killing people. He's not shooting people in Westerns. And,
right.
He's not getting all these Christmas things and
not
stuff.
Not talking
you know?
To a bunny like Donnie Darko. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I get it.
Harvey is an underrated movie.
Harvey's awesome. Yeah. Harvey's great.
That was his favorite role.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
He played it like 4 times on Broadway.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Anyway,
Jim Parsons played it on Broadway.
Did
we? We got invited to go
Jim
see
Jim Carrey,
him.
I think, played it on Broadway, if I'm not mistaken.
Jim
that was
Carrey.
His favorite movie.
Wow.
I think, or maybe he was going to, and it, I don't know, but I know he wanted to play it.
Yeah. Interesting, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we jump around.
We do, yeah. But that's what we do, yeah.
Okay, so what else is on this list?
I got a whole bunch of stuff on the list. Memento's there. Inception's there. I've got she still hasn't seen Watchmen, which I want her to see because it's kind of a thinker as far as the superhero genre goes. I've got some Korean movies on there, which I really love, like Old Boy and Sympathy for Lady Vengeance and stuff like that. So those are there, but she hasn't watched them yet. The other one we watched this week, Baron Munchausen, we watched that.
Who?
The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. Okay, okay. So we're all into the heavy into the Monty Python stuff right now.
Okay.
My wife is watching all the old Monty Python episodes.
So what's wrong with that?
In tow, you start watching all those Terry Gilliam movies, and Baron Munchausen was one of them. So that was fun. Uma Thurman, gorgeous in that movie, But the movie is a mess. If you watch it now, it is a complete mess.
Yeah.
And most of Terry Gilliam's movies are pretty much a mess. Now I want her to see Brazil. Because Brazil is one of those ones that was also really a big thinker. He had Robert De Niro in there, Jonathan Pryce, and just a whole bunch of good actors in there. But so that's on the list of ones to come. And visually, it's really stunning. And I love that Terry Gilliam does that. He takes the time to make the movie really pretty, but also give it some content. So, so that's on the list as well. So, and then they watched some chick stuff that was garbage I didn't watch. So whatever. But that was it for me this week. And a lot of ghost shows.
Ghost shows.
Yeah.
You watch the Ghost Hunter type stuff, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so this movie, I guess, is classified as a thinker, and I want to ask you about it because we've never talked about this movie, but it popped into my head while we were talking about this. I get the title because there were two movies similar title. Mulholland Drive?
Mulholland
Naomi
Falls.
Watts. No, the one with Naomi Watts.
Mulholland Falls, yeah. Mulholland Drive? Mulholland Falls. I think it's
Mulholland Falls was one with Kim Basinger and all those guys. Where she won an Academy Award. And then the one with Naomi Watts. She moves to Hollywood. I think it's the guy that did Twin Peaks.
One of his movies for sure. Yeah.
Which one is it? The Falls or Drive?
Well, you know, if I could type when I'm drunk, I would look it up, but apparently I can't. So let's look up David Lynch. It's David Lynch.
Yeah, that's what I thought, David Lynch.
He makes some real thinkers. I mean, he doesn't.
Are they thinkers?
Mulholland
or
Drive. It's Mulholland Drive. Yeah.
Okay, is he thinker or is he just like overthinker?
He is the you can think about it, but you can't really figure it out. So
because that movie, I was really getting into it, and then the ending, and I'm like, huh? What?
Yeah.
And I'm pretty good at being able to sort through things and come up with a reason why that ending happened. I couldn't come up with a reason why that ending happened. Every reason I came up with, I could shoot down in a heartbeat. So I don't know. So I wondered what you thought.
I got to ask you about a movie that has falls in it. So on the disc for this movie, there was a trailer for Darkness Falls. Did you ever see that? The one about the Tooth Fairy that's like a demon that's trying to... Did you ever see that? Was that any good?
I saw it. No.
No, it was
like
crap?
It. Yeah, I didn't like it. Yeah.
The trailer made it look kind of cool, but also like too Hollywood to be cool, kind of.
Yeah. You know. And see, that's the thing with... That's probably why I like the lower budget horror films, is because Hollywood wants to make you do this and make you do that and stuff.
It's a lot of jump scares, but not great stories,
You know, and Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
I loved the first one. I liked the first one. Yeah. Got about 10 minutes on the second one was done. But, you know, I would love to see the original version.
Yeah, I saw the original.
And they pitched it to Spielberg, and he was like, no, I'll donate, and I'll put in money, but I'll invest, but change the ending.
Yeah.
No. You're making it Hollywood now. This was a small budget movie. It's like Blair Witch thing. It was like 60, 70 grand.
Yep.
And they came up with this thing that made people freak out in the theaters. Mm-hmm. And then you fucking doctor the ending. And it's like, don't put Hollywood in horror movies.
Yeah. I agree.
Nuts.
We also did watch New Nightmare. So we've watched all the Nightmare on Elm Street movies except for the one, the Freddy's Dead one, which is just awful.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't watch it again. But it's bad.
Yeah.
So, but she wanted to watch New Nightmare. That was really what I was going for, was New Nightmare. And then Freddy versus Jason, we haven't watched yet, but I'm looking forward to that.
It's fun.
Yeah. So New Nightmare to me was just the coolest of the bunch because it takes that story and brings it into the real world and everybody plays themselves. And it's a neat idea.
Very clever,
but the last third of that movie gets really cheesy, and I was kind of upset about how cheesy it got with the special effects and stuff, with the kid getting carried across the highway.
Maybe special effects wise it gets cheesy.
Yeah.
Story wise I wouldn't say it gets cheesy. I just think they try to cram a lot at the end.
Yeah.
But I still liked it. It's still my favorite Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah. My daughter said the same thing I did. It's like the first one and this one are really the two best. Mm-hmm. And Dream Warriors is in there as really fun and probably the most inventive beyond New Nightmare. But you know,
Jack Shoulder 2 was solid.
Yeah.
New Nightmare is. I was done with Nightmare on Elm Streets.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl that I'd been wanting to date forever invited me over to have dinner and watch a horror film, because you like horror films. You pick it out, and I'm thinking, I don't know. So I grabbed New Nightmare. I'd seen it.
Yeah.
I thought, I liked it. I'll go, you know. She hated it. And I'm sitting there. I got mad at her.
Yeah.
I almost ended the, I mean, I basically did end the date, because she didn't like it. I'm like, what? I mean, you're not creative enough for me, man. Sorry, I'm done. I know you're hot. If you want to have sex, that's fine, but
wow,
that's the end of it. No, I didn't say that. I wanted to say that. I didn't say
that. Right.
But no, it's like, you didn't get this? She's like, this movie's boring. What? Do you not think when you watch movies?
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes it happens. We did. Oh, I remembered another one we watched. So we also watched The Devil's Backbone, which if you haven't seen, you should definitely check it out. It's Guillermo del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the movie he did before...
Country? Or no Country?
No. That's a different guy. So this one is...
Oh, who am I thinking of? Benicio del Toro.
Yeah. No, this is the guy who directed...
Hellboy?
Pacific Rim, Hellboy. He did the big one that he had that was a big deal. Crap. Can't even think of it now. Drinking. No. God.
Battleship. No, he didn't do Battleship.
No, he didn't do Battleship. I'll punch you in the vagina. God, what did he do? Anyway, Pan's Labyrinth. So he did Pan's Labyrinth, which was a big... Oh, you don't like Pan's Labyrinth?
I've never seen it. I don't know.
Dude, Pan's Labyrinth is awesome. So this is the movie before Pan's Labyrinth. And it is takes place during World War II. It's a bunch of kids who are in this orphanage, like out in the middle of nowhere. And there's the battle. You know, the war's going on, and Spain's getting infected by it. And they're dropping all these kids off there. And it's basically a ghost. It's a good old-fashioned ghost story. There's a kid that was murdered there. All the other kids are seeing his ghost. And they're trying to solve this murder. And one kid, like... has the balls to basically talk to the ghost and find out what he wants to solve the mystery.
Gotcha.
It's a cool movie. Special effects wise, it still holds up. It's got a great story. It's very emotional. It's one of those movies you hate the fucking bad guy. You just fucking hate him and you want him to die.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really, really cool movie. And it's one of those that I think I love Blu-ray. Don't get me wrong. Blu-ray is a great format, but I think HD kind of screws up certain kinds of movies. Movies that are heavy on the special effects look more fake on Blu-ray to me, and movies that are horror movies that get too crisp and too clean look bad on Blu-ray. And this is one that looks bad on Blu-ray. I remember seeing it in theater at a shitty little, you know, Alamo Drafthouse type thing where it was, you know, they showed a lot of independent stuff and just really loving that movie. And on Blu-ray, the special effects don't look that great. So I was kind of pissed off about that. But it is a very solid ghost story. It's got a lot going on. Great characters. And it is character driven. I mean, you get to know these characters. They take time to develop them. There's a lot of good scares in it. And it's just a fantastic movie. So if you haven't seen Devil's Backbone, it's a cool flick. So this was the movie that, so Guillermo del Toro had done a movie called Cronos, which he, you know, financed all by himself. Took him 8 years to finish it. Ron Perlman was in it. So that's how, that was the Ron Perlman connection with Hellboy. And it was just a really cool take on the vampire lore. And it was different. And it was basically, you know, he started it as a vampire movie, but then the story behind it is that his grandmother was getting ready to pass on. She was going through dementia. He had to stop making the movie so he could deal with that. And then the movie changed, and he wrote it to become about a grandfather's relationship with his grandson. So the guy, the grandfather, like finds this old, he's a watchmaker, and he finds this old device that he thinks is a watch. It turns out to be basically the thing that made vampires. It's this weird thing that like takes your blood and then turns you into a vampire. And it's about the kid's relationship with his grandfather. Even though he's a monster, he still loves him, and he's going to do whatever he can to keep his grandfather, quote unquote, alive. So he's bringing in victims and stuff. So it's a really cool story, and it's sad, and it's awesome, and it's, you know, it's really heart, you know, it's heart tugger. And that was what he did first. Then Hollywood found him and was like, oh, we got to make this guy make movies. Let's get him to do this. Let's get him to do Mimic and Blade 2. And he was so disenchanted with Hollywood and how they wanted him, were forcing him to make these movies, that he went back and made Devil's Backbone for no money and did it on his own. And it's a cool, really cool ghost story. Like, great horror flick for what it is. It's, you know, I think there's a different, within horror, there's different genres. You've got your ghost stories, you've got slashers. This is definitely a ghost story. It's not a slasher. So there's a good amount of creepy stuff, a good amount of jump out scares. But for the most part, it's the feel of the movie that makes you care about those characters and want to finish the movie.
So, I love that.
Yeah, definitely check it out if you haven't seen Devil's Backbone.
Okay, cool.
So, and that's all we watched this week. So
okay.
Anything else you want to talk about?
I watched, you know, a couple other ones. That movie, The Surrogate, that popped in my head. Had a very Lifetime feel to it. Might have been a Lifetime movie. But it had Anne Wershing in it. You remember her? She was she was Jack Bauer's girlfriend the last season, not the one that came out last year. The actual last season.
The last full season, yeah.
She was the one that got buried alive, and he got her back, and then she got killed once they finally got together, and the president wouldn't back it up, so that's when he went rogue and started killing everybody and stuff.
Yeah, as Jack Bauer does.
Greatest show ever.
Anyway. 24 is fantastic. We talked about doing a Friends podcast. We should do a 24 podcast. Yeah.
Start from season one
and just go through it. Yeah.
But
I'd be down for that.
She was in it, and it was like kind of cool to see her, because I'd really never seen her in anything other than 24. But she's barren. They've frozen 12 eggs. Only one survived.
And
husband's a novelist that also teaches creative writing. And this girl in class is in love with him, so she agrees to have their surrogate. And of course, but it's very Lifetime. That one,
not so much.
It was okay.
Yeah,
I mean, it's hour so 20 minutes. But
who do you think has better horror flicks at this point, Amazon Prime or Netflix?
Amazon Prime, definitely.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've scoured Netflix, and I just really can't find anything that I want to watch that I'm like, oh, cool, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I can see sci-fi horror, which I don't care.
Yeah.
Paranormal horror has got to be really something interesting.
Yeah.
Like a Blair Witch. I know it gets made fun of nowadays, but when you go back
Blair
when
Witch
that first
is still
came
solid,
out, that was
the first
awesome.
One's solid.
That was awesome. You know, you get that kind of stuff. Even I still don't dislike lost footage. Or found footage, if it's done right, I'm good with that. I thought Quarantine was great. Wreck is good. It was based on Wreck. I mean, they're both good. You know, so I'm fine with that kind of horror. But you know, most of it is just, you know. And
did you see You said you saw the Bigfoot one that Bobcat Goldthwait directed?
Yeah.
Was it any good?
Has one of those what the fuck endings?
Really?
Yeah. Pretty good for the most part, but then at the end you're like, huh?
That sucks.
And it's people making stupid decisions.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand. I mean, I'll give you leeway that when you're scared, you're going to make dumb decisions every now and then.
Yeah.
But some of the decisions are like no-brainers. We're like, okay, yeah, don't do that. That's stupid. You know?
Yeah.
Even if you're freaked out, you're still going to have the brain power to go, okay, let's say I'm scared of alligators.
Okay.
And an alligator's right on me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to reach out and pet the alligator on the head.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. You don't make that stupid decision.
Especially if you're in Disney.
Yeah. It's like, too soon.
Too soon?
Too soon.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Too soon. But yeah, but it's like, come on, seriously, let's go up the hill. Well, why go up the hill then? We're going to be stuck on the top of the hill. You know, it's like, come on, what are you doing?
Well, maybe they want to go over the hill. That was the idea.
Yeah, but then you can trip and fall and break your leg and stuff. I mean, it's just, come on. Just make... You don't have to make all the right decisions. That's what's kept horror forever is the dumb girl running through. And I don't mean that it's not a sexist thing. It's just a Hollywood thing.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
The girl running and always trips over something.
Yes.
She's getting away from the guy. She's got 100 yards between her and the guy.
And he's equalizer walking. He's like totally slow walking. You know?
And then, of course, she's going to trip and sprain her ankle. And like,
yep.
And then the guy comes up. You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Every time? This has happened to happen every freaking time.
Yep.
And that's why I always go back to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The guy in the wheelchair. Mm-hmm. That was legit. This wasn't a healthy person running through the woods that now is going to trip over something.
Right.
This is doing a fucking wheelchair, and his sister's trying to push him through the woods. Yeah, you're going to fall down then. And that makes sense.
Exactly.
And then when he starts cutting him up in the wheelchair, it's like, oh, God, that was creepy as hell.
The one that got me was when they were feeding that chick to the guy, the old guy in the wheelchair. That was just like, so brutal. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is still one of the movies to this day that gives me the willies.
It does.
There's very few movies that give me the willies, and that is one of them. Yeah.
And, you know, I see the campiness in it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even, I think I know that campiness was supposed to be part of it. But when you watched it originally, you didn't think campy at all.
Yeah.
But now as you watch it, you see some of the campiness, but you still get just creeped out. Edmund.
It's not only the filming style, but the sound design, the sound of that door slamming when hits that guy in the head with the hammer and
just that thud when he hits the guy in the head.
Slam.
You're like,
everything
works
in that movie.
Yeah.
And to think that they made that on the budget they did is ridiculous, you know.
And while Edward Neal's a great interview, God, did he talk. But he was fun to talk to. That was awesome.
Yeah, very much so,
because that movie's so it for me, you know.
If you haven't seen that interview, check out our YouTube page. We've got an interview with Ed O'Neill, and it's
Edwin Neal.
Okay.
Ed O'Neill was married with children and Modern Family.
I wish we had an interview with that.
That would have been awesome.
That'd be great. But Edwin Neal, great interview, great guy, does a lot of voice work, he's just it's a fantastic
interview.
And he
has a funny story about Kevin Costner that you got to hear. Hilarious story.
Yes, he does. Tell me that thing you were talking about earlier. So you looked something up.
Oh, yeah. I got a new phone, and my old phone, the voice activation thing quit working.
Mm.
So if I wanted to text, I actually had to type the text as opposed to talk the text. So I got a new phone, and that thing works now. So I was just bored. So I started doing celebrity net worth. I just think of whoever celebrity popping in my head. All right, what's this guy worth? And I posed it to Brandon today.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Here's the question.
I wanted actors that have been around since the 80s. That are still producing decent movies, sometimes hits, sometimes not, but they've got enough hits that they should be rolling in the dough.
Yeah.
So Kevin Costner, Mel Gibson, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Harrison Ford, Sylvester Stallone. And so I posed it to Brandon, who among those five, according to Celebrity Net Worth, is the wealthiest? And you got it right. It is, drum roll, Sylvester Stallone, worth $500 million.
Wow,
that's a lot.
Who's second place?
Schwarzenegger. Harrison Ford is third, and Mel Gibson and Kevin Costner are tied.
How much? Fourth. Now I mentioned someone.
Bruce Willis. I didn't think about Bruce Willis.
How much do you think Bruce Willis is
worth? Did you just look him up?
I just looked it up.
I'm going to say 250.
180.
Oh, so he's kind of close to the Costner.
And Bruce Willis is one of those guys. You know, you loved him as a kid, you know, Die Hard, all this stuff, did a bunch of great movies. If you haven't noticed, but lately he's doing a lot of direct-to-video
stuff.
Yeah,
he is.
So I don't know if it's he spent his money badly. If you're worth $180 million, you shouldn't be doing a lot of direct-to-video stuff, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, you make your own movies.
He still does a lot of direct-to-video stuff. He actually did one that I saw recently that I thought was actually pretty good called Marauders. Have you seen that?
I've heard of it.
It's fun. You should check it out. Yeah.
How much money did he have to give to Demi, though, when they got divorced?
Yeah, you got to know that was part of it, yeah.
Because I know Costner and Mel Gibson's money went to their divorces.
Yeah, and also there's some legal stuff with Mel Gibson probably, too, that cost some of that.
But then I started going into musicians and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, Neil Diamond has as far as Hollywood, maybe Spielberg might be the biggest. Neil Diamond has the second biggest divorce ever as far as money goes.
Who is he married to?
Just a girl he'd been married
to.
Mom of his kids. He'd been married 30-something years.
Okay.
She got like over $250 million from him.
Holy crap.
And he's still worth $310.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive. Nice career, Neil.
No kidding. That guy's got some hits under his belt. 310?
Yeah. Even after his $250 million divorce, and I just hit the table, but that's okay.
Wow. Yeah. That's impressive.
Who has more money, Spielberg or George Lucas?
I'm going to go George Lucas. He's got Star Wars.
Spielberg's
money.
Like $3.5 billion.
Yeah.
And George Lucas is like $5.5 billion.
Hmm. Yeah, but he's kind of tapped out now because
he sold everything.
So
that's where he got,
So Spielberg may still surpass him if he comes up with some new cool thing that ends up being a franchise.
Okay, so who?
If he reboots Jaws, maybe.
You know Stallone.
Yeah.
Okay, what if I threw in Tom Hanks versus Stallone?
Ooh. I'm still going to go Stallone. I think Tom
Stallone's
Hanks is
$500 million. Tom Hanks is $350 million.
Yeah, because Tom Hanks, he directed a couple things, but he's not a big producer.
He produced Band of Brothers.
Oh, okay. Pacific, I guess, probably too.
Yeah, he's done some stuff. But that 70s documentary thing, I think, on CNN. But even Stallone's done better than Tom Hanks.
Wow. Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
But
he's had two monster franchises.
Yeah, you got Rocky and Rambo. You can't really fault him for that. Yeah,
it's hard. Although Harrison Ford did, but Harrison Ford has just acted in those two franchises.
Yes.
Stallone created those two other franchises.
Stallone was writing, he was directing, he was doing all these things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, and really, to be honest, Rocky's really the only one that he kind of started.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote the screenplay. He wanted to direct, but he let somebody else direct. He eventually took it over. Mm-hmm. With Rambo, it was based on a book, so he didn't have that property as far as the writing credits. You know, he wrote the screenplay,
right?
But you know, it wasn't his character per se.
Right.
But he's turned that into something that became a pretty big
deal. It did really well with him.
And you know, to me, still First Blood is the most solid of the movies. First Blood's awesome.
That's a great movie.
And I really liked the last one. I thought the last one was...
I still need to see the last one.
I'll let you borrow the Blu-ray.
Okay.
I've got it. Yeah.
It's
something else.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a little more heart to it. It's got a better story. Brutality. It's just John Rambo, I think, is what it's called. Yeah.
What was the one before John Rambo? The first
Rambo
sequel.
Three. It was Rambo First Blood, and then
Rambo Two.
Rambo Two, three. And then Rambo Three, and then John Rambo.
I thought he did two more recent Rambos. Just did the one.
Okay. Yeah, I just did the one.
So it was John Rambo. Okay,
yeah.
I need to see that.
It's good. It's worth a watch.
Okay.
It was probably the most brutal movie I'd seen in a long time.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, and it's out there. But yeah, it's definitely a good flick. And he does a good job in it. He takes the time to, you know, act the character instead of just playing a character. You know, I think in 2 or 3 he was in that, you know, Rocky 3 and 4 phase where he's just, you know, busy doing the directing and everything else that the character kind of takes
a backseat.
And, you
know, I know you didn't like Rocky 5, but he acts in Rocky 5.
He does.
Because he's not Rocky.
I thought Tommy Gunn was such a bad actor in that it took me right out of the movie. So.
Why, that's John Wayne's nephew.
Yeah, okay. Well, he acts about as bad as the Duke does, except for True Grit, you know. So.
Hey, John Wayne was great in The Cowboys and The Shootist.
Mm-hmm. He was. What was that one he played, the Irish cop or whatever the hell, or? Something
McClintock,
yeah.
Ah, God. My dad liked it. I was like, I don't want to see this.
it was hard to take John Wayne in anything but Westerns. It really was, yeah.
Some of his war movies were okay.
Yeah, the war movies were okay.
He was, you know.
He was the Western guy.
But he figured it out.
Yeah.
His movies weren't hokey anymore. He did True Grit.
Yeah.
He did The Cowboys. Mm-hmm. He did Shootist. And it's like, okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. Rooster Cogburn, I thought was a little cheesy, but other than that, you know, the sequel to True Grit.
Yeah. But, was not near as good.
Well, Katharine Hepburn kind of ruined that movie, and I hate to say that because Katharine Hepburn's genius and legend. But, yeah. Okay. I did my John Wayne. Let's hear your John Wayne.
You want my John Wayne?
That's my I John think Wayne. That's better, actually.
I don't know. I haven't heard yours. You did your John
did
Wayne?
One, yeah.
You did one?
Well, I didn't hear it. Is that a dagger I see before me?
So, John Wayne, $50 million net worth.
Wow.
That was back in the
day. Of course,
day,
then, so, in the 80s, that'd be worth like five times. So, he'd be worth $250 now.
Probably, yeah. If you want to up it.
Yeah.
Some other actors you want to know net worth on?
Let's go with, it was James Bond, Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan, wow. That's a weird one.
Well, I just thought James Bond, if you're going to James Bond actors.
Yep. Pierce Brosnan, $80
million.
Wow, okay. I was expecting a little
bit
more.
Tom Selleck.
Expecting a little bit more.
Tom Selleck's had a long career, mostly TV, but he's had some hit movies.
Has he done any kind of producing or anything?
I think he produces Blue Bloods.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, what do you think?
Ooh. I would say 60 or 70.
Ooh. Yikes.
Much.
25.
Oh, I would have.
Ouch.
God, that dude's had a long career.
That's TV money.
Yeah.
That's some bad stuff right there. I can't imagine that's true.
Mm-hmm.
God. Let's look up some friends. Let's look up, what do you think? Who do you think out of the friends
Aniston.
Has the biggest? Aniston? Jennifer Aniston, really?
I bet she's over 100.
Okay, let's see here. Friends cast. I'm going to have to edit some of this because it's taking too long. Jennifer Aniston. 150.
Wow.
Million. No, 150 bucks. Sorry. No, 150 million.
I got her beat in my wallet.
Right. She is number one. Courtney Cox is second with 120.
Okay.
Schwimmer is third with 80.
Okay.
Matthew Perry is fourth with 75. Matt LeBlanc is fifth with 60. Lisa Kudrow trailing behind with 60 as well. Not behind.
Okay,
she's
not
equal
bad.
With Matt LeBlanc.
That's not bad.
So, kind of the way you thought it would
go.
Yeah,
because Aniston still does movies and does well with movies.
I thought maybe Matthew Perry would be above Schwimmer, but...
Schwimmer produces a lot.
He does, yeah.
And Perry's shows fail.
Yes,
that show Go On was great. And I gave you the first...
Yeah.
The day before, and you watched it all before it got canceled. Yep. And you were like, this show's great. The next day it got canceled.
Yeah. Typical.
Which is why I don't watch TV.
The
show's
got
to be on for at least 2 or 3 years before I'm going to get into it.
And we'll just binge watch it, yeah. So,
yeah,
you know, what can you do? Sometimes our favorite stars aren't worth as much as you would hope they would be worth, but, yeah, it is what it is.
Okay. So, go to music here. Mm-hmm. I've already told you what Neil Diamond's made worth, but he's a good benchmark. So, rank in order.
Okay.
Paul McCartney, Elton John, Billy Joel, Neil Diamond.
Paul McCartney, Elton John, Billy Joel, Neil Diamond. Paul McCartney 1.
Okay.
Neil Diamond.
Ooh.
Elton John 2. Neil Diamond 3. What was the last one?
Billy Joel.
Billy Joel 4.
Yep.
Yeah? Yay!
McCartney 600 million.
Mm-hmm.
Elton John $550 million.
I can see that though, man. The guy's been.
Neil Diamond 310.
Mm-hmm.
Who was
Billy Joel.
Bill Joel, 180.
He gave away some money to Christie Brinkley, too.
Yeah, he lost money to Christie Brinkley.
But Paul McCartney lost a lot of money, too, and he's still got $600 million.
Do you know how much money Paul McCartney made as a Beatle, just from record sales?
How much?
As a Beatle. $8 million.
What? How the hell? What did he get his $600, the other $590?
Well, that was just record sales. They didn't tour a lot, either.
Yeah, no, they didn't. No, they didn't.
No, it's from wings and royalties from publishing and stuff like
that.
Wow. And
smart with his money.
Yeah, very smart. $600 million.
Damn.
Okay, what if I
threw, I'd marry him.
What if I threw David Bowie in the mix? Where do you think he would rank?
He's down below all of them, I think. He's probably...
He's ahead of Billy Joel. He's
really?
Like 210, 220.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Well, he publicly traded himself.
Did he really?
He had himself on the stock market at one point.
That's weird.
That's pretty... Dick Clark did, too.
Yeah.
How much do you think Dick Clark was worth?
Dick Clark's worth a lot. That guy produced a shit
ton of stuff.
He wasn't
worth as much as... Pull him up, but I think it was around $200 million.
Yeah?
And I would have figured he'd be like a $700 or $800 million. I mean, all the game shows and... Bloopers
and funniest
videos and stuff.
Wow, that's weird.
The Dick Clark Rockin' New Year's Eve special and American Bandstand.
You would think he'd be worth more.
Yeah.
So Dick Clark, $200 million.
$200 million.
What's that guy who took over for him? That
Ryan like, Seacrest. What's he worth? He's probably worth $250 million. He's probably worth more.
I can't stand that guy.
I liked him at the beginning, but I he wore me out.
Let's see. Ryan Seacrest net worth. What do you think? What do you think?
I go 175.
75?
175.
175. Oh, let's see. Let's see, shall we? No, that can't be right.
How much?
330.
He's the new Dick Clark. He's producing. Wow. He does the Kardashians.
Does he really?
He produces
he's
the Kardashians.
He's responsible for that?
Yeah, he's the asshole responsible for that.
Dick.
Okay, so.
He's worth more than Dick Clark.
Yeah.
And he's, that's sad
Dick
to
Clark
me.
Basically took him under his wing.
That's sad to me.
Yeah, it is.
Well, he had radio too before that, but still, I mean, come on.
Oh, what is Simon Cowell worth?
Simon Cowell's got to be worth
he's worth like $500 million.
Yeah, he's got to be worth an
he was a record
ton.
Producer for years before Idol.
He's got to be up there, man, I would think. He's got to be in the, oh, 550.
Wow.
Yeah.
$550 million.
That's some change
he's
right there.
He's Elton John money.
I'd marry him, too.
He's better looking than Elton John.
Right.
Of course, Elton John would do things for you. I meant, like, do your laundry and stuff like that.
Yeah, right. I'm sure that's what you meant.
Jeez.
Wow.
Wow. But
damn, can you... Oh, I just need one. Give me one.
I know.
Million.
$550 million.
Let's sell this show and see what we get for it. $65.
Exactly. Jeez. Now, you wonder how accurate it is, but I'm sure it's ballpark.
Yeah.
But still, it's got to be close.
God.
You know? God.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to write all of them for a grant.
Every okay, single here's one the thing. Mm-hmm. Who has more money? Donald Trump, Jerry Jones, or Mark Cuban?
Mm. You know the answer to this?
I do. But we can verify.
I'm going to say Mark Cuban.
Okay.
Am I right?
No. He's third.
Jerry Jones is first?
Jerry Jones has more money than Donald Trump. But look it up.
All right.
I had the figures I had, Jerry Jones, $5 million. Or $5 million. $5 billion. Trump, 4.5, and Cuban, 3 point something.
Wow. Yeah, 4.5 for Donald Trump. Wow, that's crazy.
It's Jerry Jones.
Let's see, Mark Cuban, $3 billion.
Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
And what'd you say, Jerry Jones?
Mm-hmm. So five.
Jerry Jones, five. Yeah.
Wow. Jerry Jones has more money than Mark and than Donald Trump.
Yep, he should run for president.
No, because he likes he's from Arkansas. That's all I'm going to say.
Right. Wow.
Okay, you know I don't watch TV, but I fell asleep on a certain channel. Woke up, Shark Tank was on. You ever watch Shark Tank?
Yeah, I've seen it before.
It's actually kind of interesting.
It's interesting, yeah.
They had a marathon on, and I got about 2.5 episodes, and I was really enjoying it. About halfway through that third episode, I went, yeah, I'm done.
Why is that?
It's just so much of... Mark Cuban never buys anything. He's always too busy going, nope, I like the idea, but no, blah, blah, blah. Seems like the only two girls on there, they're the only ones that buy. And when all the guys are like, nah, stupid idea. You know, I'm not going to do it. It's like, come on. You guys are billionaires. It's not going to cost you. They're asking for 500 grand and they're giving you 10% in their company. What's that going to hurt you?
Okay, here's one for you that you may not have looked up. Okay. Madonna versus Britney Spears.
Whew. You want to say Madonna because she's been around longer.
Yeah.
But money's higher now.
Yep. What do you think Madonna's worth? Just ballpark.
Maybe. I'd say $300 million for Madonna.
Okay. $650.
Wow.
Wow.
She's
I know.
More than Elton John?
I
and
know.
Paul McCartney.
I know.
What's
That's
Britney
ridiculous.
Worth? What's Britney worth?
$185.
Okay.
Ouch.
All right.
She's had some bad divorces too, though.
Yeah.
So
she's in that Mel Gibson, Kevin Costner, right? Or no?
I did a bunch of stupid crap. Realm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing, man. That is crazy to me. I can't imagine having that much money in the bank and not knowing how to spend it at all. So
I don't know. You know. So.
Yeah, that's insane.
It is. And it's like, okay. If you find a really good charity, like a St. Jude's or something, you know, and I'm not being religious, I'm just saying that's a great charity.
Yeah.
Find a really good charity like that, and you've got, $4 billion, aren't you writing them a check for $100 million a year?
Right.
Saying, here, let's finish this. Let's take care of this hospital for the next 10 years, you know?
Right,
let's
go.
Why aren't you doing that? And I'm not saying they don't put up money. I know they do.
Because they're assholes.
On. You know, it's like, come on. You know?
Yeah.
Mark Cuban donated $50,000 to this organization. Well, that was nice. That's very cool.
$50,000? Come on, dude. $100,000.
That'd be like me giving you $5.
And exactly.
Saying, hey, thank you. You know?
Right.
Like, come on. It's like...
Yeah.
I guess it's nice. And I'm not knocking you. Any charitable contribution is acceptable. But hello. But you can, come on. You can eradicate some stuff with that kind of money.
For sure. You know? Well, this has been a good conversation, man.
That's one of our best shows.
Yeah. We're at the hour mark, so we're going to go ahead and cut it off. I want to thank you guys for listening again. And Randy, where can they find us?
I don't know, because I don't know where you're posting us anymore. But I'm going to go with
iTunes,
iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, Podomatic, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter.
You are still correct, sir. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And I am at Randy Rankin 43 on Twitter.
And I am Captain Funky Pants on Twitter. And on the Instagram, I'm Cigar_Luna.
I'm Randy Rankin 95 on Instagram.
And don't forget to check out Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge in Richardson, Texas, if you're in the area. And if they wanted to call and order some cigars, where would they do that, Randy?
972-761-9903.
I want a big thanks to Christoph Cigars for providing the cigars today, the lovely Sumatra cigar, which is
very
delicious.
Very tasty.
Pick them up at your local B&M. Support those guys.
Absolutely.
They're here for you.
Absolutely.
All right. So it's been great smoking with you.
See you later, Brandon.
See you later, Randy.